Good evening, this is Patrick Donahue. On last week's Bible Crossfire, on April 17th, 2016, we were discussing the fact that doctrine is important. That was the title for our lesson. And a listener called in to question the Bible truth that we have to be baptized to be saved. The Bible does teach a person must be baptized in water to be saved. To see that this is so, let's simply look at what the pertinent passages actually say. Let's start with Mark 16:16, which reads, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned." Now, this verse teaches baptism is necessary to salvation, just like the parallel sentence, "He that eateth and digesteth his food shall live," would teach that one must digest his food in order to live physically. The little word "and" shows it takes both belief and baptism to receive salvation from sin. Now, some say the second part of Mark 16:16 doesn't mention baptism, and therefore baptism must not be necessary. But there was no need to mention baptism in the second part of Mark 16:16. If a person doesn't believe, he's not qualified to be baptized anyway. Next, let's move on to John 3:5. John 3:5 says, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So water baptism is the only thing of spiritual significance in the New Testament that involves water. Romans 6:4-6 shows we begin our walk in newness of life and our old man is crucified, and these are phrases that are analogous to the new birth, at the point of our baptism in water. So John 3:5 must be talking about water baptism and therefore teaches that unless one is baptized in water, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. How about Acts 2:38? Here's how that verse reads. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So both the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Ghost are conditioned upon repentance and baptism. Now, the primary meaning of the Greek word translated "for" in this verse, which is "eis," is "into." If you were to take a quick glance at a Greek concordance, you would see that this word is translated the vast majority of time into words such as "into," "unto," and "to," indicating direction towards something. So this passage teaches that baptism is in the direction toward the remission of or forgiveness of sins. That then proves baptism is necessary to the forgiveness of one's sins. Acts 22:16 reads, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So Acts 22:16 shows the washing away of sins is dependent upon baptism. Another thing it shows is that Paul's sins were not forgiven at the point of his initial faith on the road to Damascus, as recorded in Acts 9:5-6, but instead they were forgiven at the time of his baptism. Salvation by faith only is therefore disproven. 1 Peter 3:21 reads, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." This verse argues that the physical salvation of 8 souls by water prefigures our spiritual salvation by water baptism. It does not teach baptism as the earning basis for our salvation. The death of Christ is that basis. But it does teach our salvation is conditioned upon baptism. The verse plainly says, "Baptism doth also now save us." What do we have to gain by arguing against it? So, we understand that Jesus died for all, but not all are going to be saved. Most recognize those that are going to be saved are those that qualify themselves by meeting the conditions of salvation laid down by Christ. We have just proven submitting to water baptism is one of those essential conditions to be met, just like faith and repentance are. If you have a Bible question or comment on this topic or any other Bible topic, call us at 1-877-655-6755. 1-877-655-6755. We just read and looked at Mark 16:16, John 3:5, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16, and 1 Peter 3:21, and all five of the passages prove that a person, a sinner, has to be baptized in water to be saved. If you have an issue with that, you feel free to call 1-877-655-6755. Salvation is not by faith only. James 2:24 says, "You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only." In Hebrews 5 verse 9, talking about Jesus, the Bible says that he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So it's not enough just to believe, we also have to obey Jesus. And one of the things we have to obey, as a matter of fact, we have to obey it in order to become a Christian initially, is baptism. Another passage that would prove that you got to be baptized to be saved is Galatians 3, 26 and 27. It says, "For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now the word "for" that begins verse 27 means to introduce the reason. Therefore, Galatians 3:27 shows the reason you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus is that as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So you can't become a child of God by faith without being baptized. At least not according to Galatians 3, you can't. Charles from Spokane, Washington, you're live on the air.
Yes, sir. I just want to say God bless you for teaching the truth. And one thing I've noticed is, you know, there used to be a lot of religious debates where people would actually discuss this issue. But I guess, you know, the false teachers got beat so bad, now they, hide behind the passage where Paul said the servant of God must not quarrel. And, of course, he wasn't talking about, you know, as if it's impossible to have a gentlemanly discussion of an issue without, you know, getting into a quarrel. And plus, he was talking about mundane items, not talking about, you know, matters of faith. And I just noticed these guys, it's like shining a light on a bunch of roaches to try to get them to, come on out into the daylight and have a discussion on this issue. Have you noticed the same thing?
Yes, Charles, I agree with you. As a matter of fact, you might want to go to my website sometime. It's called Bible Debates, with an S on the end, .info. And I've had a number of public debates myself, and many of them are at that site where you can just download them for free. And we've offered on this program, Charles, before, that if anybody disagrees with what we say, we're willing to publicly debate it. And it's like you said, it's not going to be a kind of a quarrel or any kind of strife. It's just going to be a friendly, in-depth, public Bible study where both sides are fairly heard. That sounds like a good thing, doesn't it, Charles?
Absolutely. And I wonder if you might have some success if you could, guys like some of the big names on Moody Bible Institute, if in some form or fashion you could get a challenge out there that would be very difficult for them to avoid because it would be so well known. Guys like, you know, Dr. David Jeremiah and all these really big name guys, and get a challenge. Of course, that's the challenge, to get a challenge out there that it, you know, that's widely known, and that would maybe force their hand to have to come out and defend their position. You know what I mean?
Well, if anybody in our listening audience knows of any preacher that's willing to defend their position, like perhaps on this topic tonight, whether or not a person has to be baptized to be saved, we're willing to debate that publicly and defend the fact that the Bible teaches that a person does have to be baptized to be saved. We'll do that publicly where an audience from both sides can hear it. We'd love to do that. You can just contact me at BibleCrossfire@email.com, BibleCrossfire@email.com, and say, yes, we're interested in having a debate, or my cell phone number is 256-682-9753. Any more follow-up, Charles?
Just give me, what's your website one more time? Go ahead and give me that again.
www.BibleDebates.info. And that's Bible Debates with Bible Debates with an S, and then .info.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir, and God bless once again. Keep up the good work.
Thanks for your call, Charles. Melina from Massachusetts, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
How are you doing? Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
So my question is, like, I know I was listening to you just recently, and I was just wondering more about, like, what you think about the Bible, that baptism and how it's supposed to be. Because when I got baptized a few years ago, it was underwater, and I've had these debates with my friend who's a Christian in another church, and he got water sprinkled on his head. So I was just always curious to know, like, different viewpoints.
Well, let me get your comments on a verse, Melina. One of the first verses I turned to on this question of whether or not baptism has to be immersion or sprinkling will suffice is Romans chapter 6, verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
The first part of that verse says, therefore we are buried with him, talking about Christ,
yeah.
We are buried with him by baptism. Now, when somebody dies, unfortunately, and we take them out to the graveyard and bury them, mm-hmm. do we just stand them up and sprinkle a little dirt on their head, or we put them all the way up under the ground?
Exactly, yes. Put them in the water.
So we all know what buried means. We know what that means, and this verse says that we're buried with Christ by baptism. So I think that should settle the question that if, you know, I like to tease and use this as an illustration.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Alabama, and so you have a big Alabama-Auburn football rivalry, and I say, does God care who we pull for in Alabama or Auburn? And the answer is, no, God doesn't care. Well, how do I know that? Because the Bible doesn't tell us who to pull for, but the other side of that coin is that if the Bible teaches a particular thing, then it does matter. God does care. And he does tell us how he wants us to baptize. He wants to bury. He wants us to bury the person. He wants us to immerse him. And so even we may not think that it matters, but it matters to God because he has spoken on it in his word. Any follow-up, Melina?
No, that's really awesome. I really appreciate it. And I've tried to tell him that, but I'm just trying to help my friends out, you know?
Thank you, Melina, and if you want to talk any more, perhaps we can talk together with your friends, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com.
All right, awesome. I definitely will. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Melina.
No problem.
You know, another passage that teaches that we have to be baptized to be saved, a sinner does, to become a Christian, is Colossians 2:11-13. We can read the phrases, in putting off the sins, buried with him in baptism, and having forgiven you all trespasses. And so if you look at verses 11 and 13 of Colossians 2, they're both talking about the cutting off of sins, the forgiveness of sins. And right, I like to say, smack dab in the middle, verse 12 is talking about baptism. So either this passage teaches that our sins are forgiven, cut off when we're baptized, or Paul changed the subject from verse 11 to 12 and then back again in verse 13. If you'll look at that passage, you'll see that it's talking about the forgiveness of sins, and it pinpoints the time that we receive the forgiveness of sins as the time that we're baptized. Now, it's the blood of Christ that washes away our sins. It's the death of Christ that earns our salvation. There's no question about that. The question is, when does the blood of Christ wash away our sins? Is it at the point of faith? No. Passages like Colossians 2:11-13 shows us at the point of baptism, after faith. We mentioned this in our opening statement. In Acts 22, Ananias had told Saul to arise and be baptized to wash away his sins. Well, Saul had believed 3 days before that on the road to Damascus. The Lord had appeared to him. He believed in the Lord. At least 3 days later, he was still in his sins, which proves that we're not saved at the point of faith. When a person believes, that's not when he's saved. If he were saved then, Saul's sins would have been washed away on the road to Damascus. But here he is at least 3 days later. He's still in his sins, and Ananias tells him to be baptized to get his sins washed away. Now, what washed away his sins? It would have been the blood of Christ. The death of Christ is what is the basis, the earning basis of our salvation. But when were Saul's sins washed away by the blood of Christ? When he was baptized. That proves that not only do we have to believe to be saved from our sins, but we have to be baptized. Just like Jesus said it in Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It takes both. You can't be saved by just getting baptized, like as an infant, and never believing. Everybody can see that. And in the same way, you can't be saved by just believing and never getting baptized. It takes both, according to Jesus. Again, Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Phil from Grand Rapids, Michigan, you're on the air. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, Patrick. Thanks for taking my call. I really enjoy this topic of water baptism. You know, on the program so far tonight, you mentioned that the Bible proves that you can't be saved by faith alone. And I think I completely agree with that. Doesn't the Bible say that we're saved by grace through faith?
Yes, Ephesians 2 says you're saved by grace through faith. So it's not by faith alone. It takes grace also. Is that your point?
Yes, I just wanted to make the comment that the word grace comes before the word faith, and that's basically what I wanted to say.
Yeah, that's a good point, Phil, that salvation can't be by faith alone in the strictest sense, because the Bible says that salvation is also by grace. And if you say it's by faith alone, that would rule out grace. We say that's a silly and absurd point to be made, but it's making a good point. Again, James 2:24 says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. James from Nine Mile Falls, Washington. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hey, what's up, brother? How you doing, man?
Thank you for your call, James.
Hi, I had a question, my man. So right now I'm walking around my living room, and I believe in Jesus, and I believe he died for my sins. But, so what if I die, like, right now from a heart attack? Like, will I not get to go to heaven because I haven't been baptized?
All right, let's answer that with the scripture, James. What did Jesus say? What does Jesus mean when he says in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved? Would that mean that you can believe?
So I'm not going to be saved because I haven't been baptized.
Exactly. Suppose I tried to illustrate this on last week.
Oh, man.
James? James.
What about the, go ahead, man.
I tried to illustrate this on last week's program, but I fumbled it up good. But suppose you were not a believer, but you were on the way to church. Maybe your cousin had invited you, and you're not a believer at this time. And when you get to the church, you're going to hear the gospel, and you're going to believe. But you don't make it there. You die of a heart attack before you get there. Are you going to be saved?
I hope so.
No, you're not a believer, though. I'm saying you're not a believer. You're not going to become a believer until after you die of a heart attack before you become a believer, James. Are you going to be saved?
No, if you're not a believer, of course not.
Okay, all right. And so the fact that a person may die of a heart attack never changes what the scriptures say. And Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the truth of the matter. Go ahead, James.
So how about Luke 23:43 for you? The thief on the cross next to Jesus.
Yes.
What did Jesus say to him? Surely I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.
Yes,
get baptized.
James, that's a good question. Did you listen to our program last week where we dealt with that?
I didn't know.
Okay. I'm going to let you hang up right now, and I'm going to deal with that question, what about the thief on the cross, because a lot of people want to know about that in relation to this question, does a person have to be baptized? They claim that the thief on the cross wasn't baptized, but he was saved. Therefore, that proves that we can be saved without being baptized. Of course, we don't know for sure the thief wasn't baptized. He could have been baptized by John the Baptist before he went up on that cross. But that's not really my point. What I want to show is that the thief didn't have to be baptized to be saved, because he lived under the Old Testament law, and it's the New Testament law that requires us to be baptized to be saved. And I'm going to show that from Hebrews 9:15-17. Let's read that. Talking about Jesus, it says, for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is no strength at all while the testator liveth. Now, this is a general statement about wills, testament. When my parents are passed away, I have three brothers. Us four boys were in the will to inherit whatever my parents had. But we didn't receive, the will existed for 10 or 20 years before they died, but we were in that will, but we didn't receive our inheritance until after they died. The will didn't go into effect until after they died, and that's the point being made here in Hebrews. But it's making the point in relation to the New Testament of Christ, that the New Testament did not go into effect until after the death of the testator, which is Jesus Christ. So during the time that the thief on the cross lived, during the time that Jesus lived, they both lived under the Old Testament law that didn't require a person to be baptized to be saved. That wasn't required until after Jesus said in the Great Commission, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, which was long after the thief was dead. The thief on the cross didn't have to be baptized to be saved, for the same reason that Adam didn't have to be baptized to be saved, for the same reason that Abraham didn't have to be baptized to be saved for the same reason that Moses didn't have to be baptized to be saved, for the same reason that Joshua didn't have to be baptized to be saved. They lived under the Old Testament law. The Old Testament law, baptism was not part of that. It's a New Testament thing. The New Testament law that requires a person to be baptized to be saved didn't go into effect until after the death of Christ, after the thief on the cross died. He was never amenable to that law. Now, the question we must do, since we don't live under the same law as the thief, we got to ask ourselves, he lived under that law, for example, that required animal sacrifices and things like that, so surely we can see the difference. We live under the New Testament law. It doesn't require animal sacrifices, but it does require a person to be baptized to be saved. If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. We have about 3 or 4 minutes left. One other passage I would like the listening audience to consider on this question, does a person have to be baptized to be saved, is 1 Corinthians 1, 12 and 13, which reads this way. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? They were having problems with division here, and Paul is basically saying that you're not of Paul. You're not of Paul unless Paul was crucified for you and you were baptized in the name of Paul. And so, of course, that's not true. They were not baptized in the name of Paul. Paul was not crucified for them. And so they were not truly of Paul. But the point would be, on our topic tonight is that this verse would then say that to be of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 1, 12 and 13, to be of Christ, a Christian, Christ must be crucified for you, and you had to be baptized in the name of Christ. You see that? Paul is saying, you are not of Paul. To be of Paul, you'd had to be baptized in the name of Paul. Well, that would mean to be of Christ. Of course, we don't want to be of Paul. We want to be of Christ. To be of Christ, we'd have to be baptized in the name of Christ. Baptism is necessary to becoming a Christian. Kelvin from North Carolina, go have your Bible question or comment, please. Make it quick.
Yes, sir. And John the Baptist, he said, I indeed baptize with water, but there is one coming who is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm unworthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And Christ told James and John, can you drink of the cup that I'm about to drink of? And can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm about to be baptized with? He was not talking about water. Now, a blood baptism was undergoing a severe trial or a martyrdom. He was referring to his crucifixion on the cross the next day, which you were just when you just read from Hebrews chapter 9 about the death of a testator.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Calvin,
in Ephesians, it says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Kelvin, we appreciate your call, but we're going to have to go off the air. We got less than a minute left. Appreciate your call. Kelvin brings up the subject of Holy Spirit baptism, which would be another program all in and of itself. But it doesn't change the fact of what we read tonight, because Mark 16:16 is not talking about Holy Spirit baptism. The Great Commission baptism is water baptism. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's talking about water baptism. When Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, he was talking about water baptism. And when Ananias told Saul to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, he was talking about water baptism. And when 1 Peter 3:21 says that baptism doth also now save you, he's talking about water baptism. Appreciate you listening tonight. We can continue any and all of this discussion if you'll send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com.